To me, doesn't seem like an end of a revival sermon, but I believe it's what the Lord had had me to do, so we'll do it. And it's more of a Sunday school sermon, whatever. But Romans chapter 8, and let's start. Let me just say thank you for everything. I'm just getting into it, but thank you for the meeting. Thank you for the just everything. Motel and Codner's for the meals. Thank you so much, and just everything. It's been a good time, and praise the Lord. Didn't have a blizzard or anything like that, because they can come this time of year. I know, but been real good. This is actually the first revival meeting I've had since the end of November. We had some time off and. It didn't go as we planned, but it has really felt good to be back, as they say, in the saddle and preaching and stuff. So praise the Lord. But thank you for everything. It's just been excellent, and I really, really appreciate it. Romans chapter 8, and let's start in verse 35, Romans 8, 35. The Bible says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword?" Oftentimes when a trial comes, and there's things mentioned there I've not gone through, but tribulation, distress, persecution, I haven't been persecuted really that much. But in those times you think, "Lord, but I thought you loved me. I thought..." You know, and he does. But one of the first things you think when everything goes wrong is, "God, are you there? Do you care about me still?" And he does. "As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, God, I just thank you for being so good to us. Lord, thank you for these words. Thank you for this book, for salvation, for a fellowship of the saints. God, just thank you for your love and your mercy and the blood that you shed. And God, you're so good, and I thank you for that. Lord, I pray that you would bless this meeting, this message tonight. It's not over. And God, I just pray you'd use this sermon for your glory and for their edification. God, guide me, guide the words of my mouth. I pray, Father, that you'd please fill me with the Holy Spirit. Without thee, I can do nothing. And God, these people do not need to hear from me. God, we need you. And I just pray, Lord God, that you would bless this message, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but what would happen to you if, I don't want to say all of a sudden, but what would happen to you if you got to the point, and maybe it would happen in a day, I don't know, to where you did not know if you were saved? You say, "Well, I'm saved, preacher." It's good to know that, isn't it? There's a lot of saved Christians, and they don't know if they're saved or not. And knowing what we know about hell, you stop and think about that. I mean, if knowing what I know about hell, if I lost my assurance of salvation, I'll be honest with you, I couldn't preach. Now, I might continue preaching, but it wouldn't be any good. And I literally would be a basket case. No, I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to hell. I don't want to go to hell. Oh, I don't want to go to hell. Am I going to hell? I mean, just, I would be a basket of just, I don't know, I'd be on drugs probably. I mean, just, you think about that. If you lost your assurance of salvation, how your life would change. It wouldn't be the same. How could you rest? How could you be at peace? I mean, maybe on the outside you'd appear, but going to bed at night, getting by yourself, you're nervous wreck. Eventually it's going to come out. And but I believe the Lord would just have me go over this tonight. But I'm going to go over eternal security. And I will say this. This doctrine is believed less and less in this age. Even amongst independent Baptists, it's getting less and less. There's a big group. You take the BBF Bible Baptist Fellowship and the Baptist Bible Fellowship and the fundamentalists, because they're not rightly dividing the Word of God, they come at the Word of God. They can't take it literal, because if they did, it scares them to death, especially Matthew chapter 25 and some other places. And so they're just, you know, and they'll preach. They say they believe in eternal security, but they don't preach like it. They'll say, oh, yes, we believe. Once saved, always saved. Yep. Once you're saved, you're always saved. Yes, sir. And go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I've heard them preach like this. And it's not right. It really isn't. And sometimes I've heard preachers preach just to get an altar full and say some things, you know. If you're breathing and love Jesus, come forward, you know, stuff like that. But that's an exaggeration, but not too far from it. But here, I'm going to lead up to a verse for eternal security, but we'll back up because I want to go through this in case you ever get in a church that does this. And I was in one that did this, and I'm like, man, it wasn't right. But look at 2 Corinthians 5, and notice verse 14, 2 Corinthians 5, and verse 14, for the love of Christ constraineth us. It moves you. It motivates you. All right? Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Everybody needs to get saved. Everybody needs to be born again. If you're not born again, you're going to hell. All right? And so because we know Jesus Christ died for all, then we realize everybody needs to get saved that is not saved. And it motivates us to witness and to do right. And that he died for all, that they which live should not, now those of us that are saved, should not henceforth from here on live unto themselves. And that's for you and I. You're not to live for yourself. You're to live for Him. And we went over that. If we suffer with Him, we shall also reign. You live for yourself, you're going to lose your inheritance. And should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. You're to live for Jesus Christ. And I know we all can do better, but are you trying? I mean, that's... Will you try? Are you praying, Lord, help me to live for you. Help me to do better. You know, you can always, as a preacher, you can always put the guilt trip down. You need to do better and stuff. Yeah, we all do. But are you trying to live for Jesus Christ? There's a lot of Christians nowadays that are not trying. They ain't trying. Verse 16, wherefore... henceforth, okay, because of what you just read, Christ died for all, we're to be living for Him because of that. Wherefore, henceforth, from here on, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth knowing him no more. You see, what's that saying? All right, let's look at it. Wherefore henceforth know your knowledge. Your knowledge. Knowing no man after the flesh. Why? Keep your place there. Go to Romans 8. Why is it that you don't know anybody after the flesh? And what's that mean? Well, look at Romans chapter 8. And look at verse 8. Romans 8, 8. The Bible says, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. It's so great. There's nothing I can do. I can't please God. Now you got to read on. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. See that thing? Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. If you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you're lost. All right? But if you're saved from God's view, because my view and your view of me is we're in the flesh. But that's not what it's talking about. We're talking about doctrinally or as God views. And in God's view, the Spirit's in you. You're in the Spirit. Okay? Go back to 2 Corinthians. Your knowledge is not after the flesh anymore. It's after the Spirit. You know no man after the flesh. Why? Your knowledge is after the Spirit. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh. Before you got saved, you knew about Jesus Christ. Before I got saved, I knew Christmas was about a baby in a manger. And his name was Jesus. And at Easter, I knew something about a resurrection, but I didn't know much. Because there really was no God in our home. There was no religion. But it was something about Jesus arose or something about that. And I'm being honest, that's about all I knew, really. But that was after the flesh. Then people started witnessing to me, and I was getting to know about Jesus Christ. And then I got saved. And now I know him after the Spirit. And my knowledge of man and men and Jesus Christ changed when I got saved, and it's now after the Spirit. And the same thing happened for you. And he's talking about your knowledge, which is very important. And it says there at the end of verse 16, yet now that you're saved, henceforth knowing him no more. You don't know him after the flesh, you know him after the Spirit. Now watch verse 16. Verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, are you in Christ? If you're saved, you're in Christ. Now, what's that mean? That means you're in Christ. You say, I don't understand that. I don't either. I don't understand how I'm in Jesus Christ, but I am. That is one of those mysteries that we're not going to understand until we get to heaven. But when you get saved, according to 1 Corinthians 12, the Spirit of God baptizes you into the body of Jesus Christ. And in Ephesians 5, it says we're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. So when it says in Christ, it means exactly that. I can explain it, but to understand it, I don't understand all that. The analogy in the Bible is a husband and wife are one flesh. You say, no, you're not. You're two. There's your wife. There's you. You're two. But spiritually, we're one. And when you get saved, you get in Christ, in Jesus Christ. Notice, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. You're born again. You're born a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Have you ever heard it preached like this? Well, bless God, if you're still smoking, if you're still chewing, if you're still drinking, if you're still watching the bad movies, if you still have long hair, and if you're still going to the place you used to go and doing all this, and they name all the sins that they're not doing. But anyway, and if you're doing that, bless God. If you're doing those things that you used to do before you got saved, then bless God, you didn't get born again. You need to come down here. You need to get born again, you know. And they get preaching like that. And there's babes in the Lord that are still battling the sins of Egypt. And face it, folks, we're all battling the sins of Egypt. There's no doubt about that. Just now that we're saved, well, they're not the externals as much. And they get preaching like that. And I've seen people lose their assurance of salvation because they're still smoking. And they're like, oh, no. And they don't want to smoke. They thought, well, man, I guess not. Maybe I guess I didn't get saved. Well, I'll go forward. Okay, Lord God, I know I'm wrong and I know I'm a sinner. Go forward to get saved and think, there, now I'll get the victory over smoking. And an hour goes by, 2 hours go by, and they light up. And, oh, no, I must have not got saved. And then the devil come along. Now, I'm not exaggerating this. Devil come along and say, well, you see, you've committed the unpardonable sin, and you can't get saved. And just mess them up because a preacher doesn't understand the Word of God and preaching it all wrong and messed up. I was in an independent Baptist church where the pastor prayed to get saved every night before he went to bed. He said, I prayed that prayer thousands of times. He actually caught himself and said, oh, I prayed that prayer 1,000. And I went, oh, he didn't know if he's saved or not. Wherefore, henceforth, verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, when you're saved, keep your place there. Go to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. If you're not saved, you're not in Christ. Look at 1 Corinthians 15, verse 22. 1 Corinthians 15, 22. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. If you're lost, you're in Adam, and you're going to die. You need to get in Christ. You need to get in Christ. And that in Christ is a literal getting in Christ. That in Adam, that's a genealogy thing there. But nevertheless, you're in Christ. And it says there, go back to 2 Corinthians. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. But in verse 16, you know what it's talking about? It's talking about your knowledge. You see, it says, all things passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You know what the word all means? It means all. It really does. And when I got saved, that's just the way some of the preachers apply it, but it didn't work. I got saved November, I think, 29th, 1977, about 2 a.m. in the morning. When I got up in the morning, I did not have a new car. He said, well, of course. Did you read what it said? It said all things. Did it say all things? It said all things. But I didn't have a new car. I didn't have a new guitar, and I didn't have new clothes. Didn't. You say you didn't get saved. No, I got saved. But some of the brethren, I'm being charitable, some of the brethren, I mean, that's how they apply it. And it's like, you're nuts. You're off. I didn't have new things in that sense, but the day before I got saved, when I talked to my mom, that was my mom. And the day after I got saved, Mom, you need to get saved. And it was new. My car, it wasn't a fancy car anyway, but it really meant nothing after I got saved. And your knowledge. See that thing, verse 16, wherefore henceforth know, we know men after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Your knowledge changed, and when you got saved, all things became new. You had a new knowledge of life and what it's all about. That's what that thing's talking about. is not talking about, well, bless God, now that you're saved, and they think in a week you're going to have victory over all your sins. I mean, that's the way they preach it. And it's just crazy. But you have a new knowledge. Verse 18, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. All right, y'all are in the ministry. You're all ministers, and you're all in the ministry if you're saved. You have the ministry of reconciliation, and that's winning people to Jesus Christ. You're in the ministry. Verse 19, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Now you need to think about that. Our lives, you talk about purpose. A reason to live. You're an ambassador. What's that? You're in a foreign country representing another country. That's what you are. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Now watch it. As though God did beseech you by us. When you get out there and talk to someone about Jesus Christ, that's as if God's talking to them. Through you. That's as if God's talking to him. Wow. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God. Now here it is. For he, that's God, and I quoted this morning, hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us. He bore our sins, yes, but he became our sin. He became a serpent. He became a worm. I don't understand that. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin. He is absolutely pure. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. In Jesus Christ, yet. You have been clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And your sins, well, it doesn't say they were put on him, but they were. They were put on, but he became your sin. There's an imputation. Your sins get imputed to Christ. He becomes your sin. And the righteousness of God gets imputed to you. So that now when God sees you, you're absolutely perfect. You're as righteous as Jesus Christ. In God's view. And every now and then you need to stop and rest. 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 I'm perfect in his eyes. That's a blessing. That really is. You say, well, if I'm perfect and I'm saved, then why do I still have these things that aren't right? Why do I still do things that are wrong? And if you don't recognize what I'm about to show you, and there's a lot of the brethren that don't, you can get in some real trouble. You can get to the point where you think you're not saved. Go to Ephesians. Look at Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. And this is necessary to understand. You got to realize, brothers and sisters, in us, right now, in you and in me, there is a part of us right here, right now, that if we were back at the time of Christ, there's something in us that would shout, crucify him. And that's in every one of us here tonight. You say, what is that? It's that stuff. That stuff right there. That old man. Look at Ephesians chapter 4 and look at verse 22. That you put off. Notice you got to do it. It's not automatic. There are certain things as a Christian that are automatic when you get saved. You're redeemed. You're born again. You're justified. You're sanctified. There's a number of things there. Your name's written in the book of life. I mean, just on and on and on. You're adopted and goes on. And there's things in your standing that take place, boom, when you got saved. There's a whole list of them. And they're an automatic thing, and they will not change. And then there's your state. And your state is fluid. It changes. And you still have a free will. And there's temptations and there's tests and trials and weariness and on and on and on. And you got to realize that. And it says there, verse 22, that ye put off concerning the former conversation. And that's not limited to your speech. That's your manner of life. The old man. And that old man doesn't want to die. He's like, no, I want to do what I want to do when I want to do it. And I want, it just, he wants me. And that's a battle. You and I are in a battle. We'll be in that battle till we get a new body. And you got to put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. You see, I'm saved. But that stuff right there, it's not saved. That stuff right there just isn't saved. Now, one of these days, I'll get a new body. But right now, that body you're living in is not saved. Your soul is. You've been born again and all that. But that stuff right there is not saved. And it just wants. It has an appetite for sin. That's what it's got an appetite for. And our battle to the day we die, one of them is mortifying that stuff. And it's not fun. It's not easy. And there's times you groan within yourself saying, oh God, I am so sick of myself. And it says there that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. I had a guy say this to me. It's been about a year now, I guess. But that Bible says the heart's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, right? The heart is deceitful above all things. And he said, let me ask you something. I said, sure. He said, is Satan a thing? And I went, yeah. And he said, the heart's deceitful above all things. That's that old man. That old man. Verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man. So you got an old man and a new man. See that thing right there? Which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. There's a part of you that loves God and wants to do right. There's a part of you that hates God and wants to do wrong. It's just right there. Now listen, don't go to the hospital and they say, what's wrong? Well, my old man's just giving me a fit, and I don't want to serve the old man. I want to serve the new man, and I just want to submit to the new man, but the old man is giving me a bad time. They're going to say, all right, right this way. We'll put you on a 72-hour hold, you know, or something like that. And now you understand that. They don't understand that. But that's there. You have a new man, and it's after God, and there's a desire in there. I want to do right. And then that other thing. And if you don't understand those two things, and this desire to do wrong and these sins, it's like, well, if I was saved, where'd that come from? And I shouldn't be like that, and I shouldn't want those things. If you don't understand the two natures, the devil can take that and steal your assurance of salvation, make you think you're lost. And you're not. There's just a battle going on there, and it's going to be there till the day you die. And here is your strength. That and prayer. And a church and getting preached at. Those things are all things to strengthen the new man. But the old man, well, that's just, television and all that stuff, and books, and wrong kind of books, and just all kinds of fleshly, carnal wickedness, just images and sounds, music, wrong kind of music, wrong kind of images, wrong kinds of things, and all that stuff. That stuff just feeds the flesh, feeds the flesh, feeds the flesh, and it's just like, oh, this is great, 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 and then it gets stronger, and the new man gets weaker. And there's just a battle going on. And verse 25, wherefore, putting away lying. Can a Christian lie? Oh, sure. Yeah. Speak every man truth with his neighbor. Wherefore, putting away lying, old man. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, new man. For we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. That's an amazing thing. But if you're going to be angry, better be righteous anger. Is not a sinful thing there. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. You hold on to it, even if it's right. It's going to turn into something that's wrong. Well, it's there. Neither give place to the devil. Be ready to forgive. Let him that stole, old man, steal no more, new man. But rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good that he may have to give him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. That's a hard one, man. That's rough. Especially if you're extremely frustrated. Oh, man. Those old words come back real fast. But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. What's James say? James says, if you can bridle the tongue, the same is a perfect man. That Bible said Job was a perfect man. Upright and escheweth evil and that sort of thing. Verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. I will come back to that verse. Let all bitterness, old man, and wrath, old man, and anger, old man, and clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, old man, and be kind one to another, new man. Tender-hearted, new man, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake forgiven you, new man. Is that thing? You got that old man and new man. And there's other verses in Galatians 5 talks about the works of the flesh and the spirit and that sort of thing. Philippians says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And that doesn't mean work it out in hopes to get saved. It means when you got saved, it happened on the inside. Well, go to Philippians. We'll hit it real quick. But look at Philippians, I believe it's 4. 2. Yes, 2. Philippians 2:12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. When you got saved on the inside. So by the grace of God, get what happened on the inside on the outside. It's really that simple. But it's not easy to do. And you might get it on the outside for a half hour, and then it shrinks back to the inside. The outside takes over. And oh, man. It's just, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen. But you've got an old man and a new man. And you've got to recognize that. Now that old man is dead. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. So the old man's actions are actions of a dead man. And God, when it comes to our fellowship with God, it affects that. When it comes to our salvation, it doesn't. Because it's a dead man. All right? I am crucified with Christ. And those are the actions of a dead man. But you've got two natures, and then you've been, let's see here. Go to Colossians. And you've had an operation done. God operated on you with the Word of God. And look at this thing in Colossians 2. And look at verse 9. Colossians 2:9. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him. If you're in Christ, you're complete. Yes. You're not going to add to your salvation. You're not going to improve upon it. Or you're complete. All right? The labors that you do now are to please Him and for rewards and that sort of thing. But you're complete. Your salvation's complete. You're complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. In whom, all right, you're in Christ also. You are circumcised with the circumcision, watch it, made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. All right, before you, let me back up here. You are a Trinity, all right? You have a body, you have a soul, and you have a spirit. You're a Trinity. Before you got saved, your body and your soul are together. So that when you sinned, it defiled your soul. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Your spirit was dead in trespasses and sins. That was your condition when you were lost. And then when you prayed and asked Jesus Christ to save you, that Bible says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. So that when you got saved, the word of God came in and went, and your body and your soul went like that. Look at it. In whom? In Christ also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. All right, it's not physical. It's a spiritual circumcision. What is it? In putting off. Before you got saved, it was on. But you got saved, you're circumcised, it's put off. All right? What? The body of the sins of the flesh. That thing? Your body got cut loose from your soul and separated there by the circumcision of Christ. Look at verse 13. And you being dead in your sins, that's when you were lost. Watch it. And the uncircumcision of your flesh. Is that thing? Hath he quickened together. So when you got saved, spiritually you were circumcised and the flesh got put off of the soul. Is that thing? Verse 12, buried with him in baptism. There's no water anywhere around in this context. That's the Spirit of God putting you into Christ. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith, watch it, of the operation of God, who hath raised us from the dead. You're risen today. Where are you? You're seated in heavenly places in Christ. We're up there right now. Why? We're in Christ. Wherever Jesus is, I'm there too. Because I'm in Him. Now, you can just think about that stuff. It's marvelous, man. It is absolutely marvelous. But your body got put off and it was crucified. I'm crucified with Christ. Your soul was defiled from the sin. But then it got washed in the blood. MacArthur doesn't know what he's talking about. Go to Revelation chapter 1. Look at Revelation chapter 1. John MacArthur says it wasn't the blood that saved you. And I've got the quote. But he said people talking about the blood as if it washed away our sins. I know. And it's like, I mean, he said that. I got the quote. And it's like, wow, even the NIV says it. I said, well, maybe his Bible doesn't say that. And I went to Revelation 1 and it does. It's, Weird, man. But look at Revelation 1 and verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Amen. Your body got separated from your soul. The blood came along and washed you and washed those sins away. And you're just white as snow. Thank God. That's that spiritual circumcision. The Word of God comes in there and does that. Go back to Ephesians. Ephesians. A couple more things and we'll be done. But look at verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. And you get circumcised, washed in the blood, and then the Spirit of God comes along and seals you. And you're sealed, you're preserved in Christ unto his heavenly kingdom. I tell you, that's a blessing, man. That's a blessing. I know some of you ladies can, and they were talking about it at lunch today and different things like that. But it really is amazing. It's a great illustration. I would can tomatoes and things, and Terry and I would work on that and stuff. And growing up, I'd can apples, make applesauce and stuff. And you get those jars and you put the fruit or whatever inside. And if it's a water bath, you put those lids on, drop them down in the water, and it's boiling over, that sort of thing. And you let it go for so many minutes, 10, 15 minutes, whatever. And then you bring them out and they're set them on the counter and they're just a bubbling. Right? And it's so hot in there and they're boiling in there. You set them on the counter and that lid's bubbled up there. It's under pressure and it just bubbles and bubbles. And then it begins to cool and cool and cool. And after about 20, 30 minutes, you get listening. You're waiting for that, or however it does. You know what I'm talking about. Can't do it. But anyway, that lid, and you hear that thing, ping, drop. And it's like, there's a seal. There's another one. There's another one. And every once in a while, you come in and there's one and it doesn't. And it didn't seal. That one didn't get saved. We're eating that in the next few days. And, but the ones that are sealed, and you get those and you put them in the pantry. And growing up, our pantry is kind of out in the garage. California didn't get as cold as it does here. And then we got it closed off. But anyway, we'd be out there. And Mom would say, go out and get me some of those tomatoes. And I said, all right. And I'd go out there, and there'd be these jars on the shelf. And every now and then, there'd be a jar there, a couple jars there from 2 years earlier. And I said, oh, wow, that's an old one. And it's got cobwebs on it, dead fly on the lid, and dust all over the jar, and you get that thing's like, ew, bringing it. Mom, look, this is from a couple years ago. She's like, ooh, that's dirty. And so she has to put it under the water. She has to clean it up before she opens it and put it under the water. So what is that? The washing of the water by the Word. That's reading your Bible. That's preaching the Word of God. But you get that thing, and the jar got dirty. That's very important. The jar on the outside got dirty. Needed to be cleaned up. But then she'd open it, and inside, absolutely clean. Absolutely pure. Why? It'd been sealed. And Jesus Christ saved you. You've been circumcised, washed in the blood, sealed by the Spirit of God, and the jar gets dirty. It's got to be cleaned. But inside, you're pure, you're clean. And one of these days, we're out of here. He's opening that jar, and we're going home. We're going home. And it's a blessing. It's a blessing to know I'm saved. Yes. Amen. And I know at times we get discouraged. And there are times I am not by any means pleased with my service for my King. And you got to be careful at that, because you can beat yourself in the ground and it's not God. That's not the Spirit of God. You got to watch that. But there is a need to rest. There's a need at times to just say, you know what? I'm in. I've got a mansion waiting for me. I'm going to be home. Everything's all right. I'm going to heaven. And you're going to heaven. If you're saved, He's going to get you there. We're in. And there's times you've got to just meditate on that for a while. That's a blessing, man. It really is. Let's bow our heads forward to prayer. Father, Lord, thank You for assurance. Lord, how many saints in Pennsylvania, they're living in fear. And it's not of You, Lord. And they're saved. They're washed in the blood. They're born again. And they go to bed at night in fear. And they wake up in fear. And they go throughout the day in fear. And they can't serve You because they're in fear. Father, thank You for this old book. Thank You that we know we're going to heaven. Thank You for that assurance. And Lord, I just believe You wanted me to bring that. If there's somebody here tonight, and maybe nobody else knows, but there's times they doubt or they fear, I pray tonight they'd get their assurance settled. And that they'd know that everything's all right. They're going to be in heaven one day. Father, bless, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.